Thank you, Renee. He left it all for us. Amen. Appreciate that good message and song. I want you to open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Isaiah. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 9. I'd like for you to find it. I'm going to give you time. I'm going to only read a couple of verses. And I recognize it's the first Sunday of the new year. And I recognize Christmas is over. But this verse might have more to do with Christmas than it does the new year. So you just cut me a little slack. I'm often behind times. So that does happen to me. And the direction I'm going this morning, you might have a little cue when I tell you I'm going to entitle it for the tape room up there. I'm going to entitle it Government in Crisis. And I guess you'll discover from the text, I'm waiting for a better government to come.
Amen.
Look at it here in Isaiah chapter 9. Pick it up in verse 6. This sounds like what we'd read at Christmas sometime. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And here's the part that often gets left out of this. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, I recognize, as I've always tried to in my heart, and sometimes say it and sometimes don't, but I recognize where I stand and the responsibility I stand in representing you to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I recognize all the way through your Bible that you raised up prophets to condemn the evil, to rebuke even kings, and sometimes, Father, even to anoint them, to put them in office. So I recognize, Father, that when we represent you and speak your word, that it is a serious thing. I ask you to help me this morning. Father, we claim the promise, as always, that it's not by might nor by power, but by your spirit. So, Father, I pray today that you would allow me to say what you want me to and leave unsaid what's unnecessary. And, Father, as always, I trust in your spirit, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for us to think about this a little bit. I guess we could call it a time coming when government is going to be overthrown. It's going to be reestablished. Now, we're somewhat in a crisis thing. They tell me that, what, one quarter of the government is shut down? That means you don't have to pay all your taxes. You pay three quarters you don't pay. Is that right? Somebody said, don't you think it's bad? Yeah, I wish I could figure a way to shut the other three quarters down. Think that'd be best. But anyway, you know, in the text right here, it's a prophecy. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, students believe, and I think so, probably 300 prophecies given of Christ coming the first time. This text that we read has his coming the first time. It also has his coming the second time. It has what he would be as a son given, as a one born, and what he came to do the first time, but it also jumps to what he's going to do when he comes back the second time, when he comes back even in judgment. Now, these same verses was pretty well repeated by the angel to Mary, and we've had all that in the Christmas story. We hear it every year, and it's a wonderful truth and a great truth and all of that. But oftentimes, a statement I pointed out here, that the government will be on his shoulders and there'll be no end to his peace and justice when he rules, is often forgot about in the Christmas prophecy and so forth. But that is future. Much of it is past now. We know that he came, the son was given, but we know that he's coming back and he's going to rule and reign 1,000 years on planet Earth according to the word of God, and he's going to be in charge of the government. Boy, That'd be a blessed time, won't it? That'll be a great time. Now, America's in somewhat of a crisis. I mean, the talking heads on the TV tell you that all the time. What a crisis are we in? I think we are in one. I think we're hurting, and we have been for a long time. It just didn't start. I think God may have put a man in office to do surgery on a patient that has been needing surgery for a long time, and you don't get surgery without getting some pain from it. And yes, we're having some pain. There's no doubt about that. But folks, it's not about a wall. It's about whether or not they'll let the man keep the promise he made, because the people voted him in to build a wall. That was very much clear, very much up front. And let me say, well, $5 billion, that's nothing that the bureaucracy deals with. And you say, well, you know, he's doing wrong. He's bringing our troops home. I don't know. I think that might be a good idea. And I get some inside information from time to time from some of the Christians in Syria and other places. And far as money goes, do you know we spend at least $50 billion a year keeping troops on foreign soil and letting them be used by other governments that don't really have any right to use them? Now, help yourself. I've been here a long time. That's what the button says. And I've been here so long that if I leave, some of you wouldn't miss me, and I wouldn't miss some of you. The truth is, I would, and it would hurt. But the truth of the matter is, I won't tell the truth the last time I preach as well as I did the first time I preach. And I want to stand for something when I leave, just like I stand for something while I'm here. Amen? And I do believe America's in a crisis in a lot of ways. And we've let the UN and the United Nuts and nations and even nations out there that we're paying the bills for use our army above. And I tell you what, I don't know about you, but it bothers me when I see on TV these boys without their legs and their arms and hear their wives and see the kids and all. Some of that, I want to ask the question, why? Why was it worth it? Was it worth it? You say, but they hit us with the tires. Fine. Go knock the fire out of them and then come home and don't pay the bills forever. Amen. Amen. That's okay, Mickey. I'll say amen for you. No, it's not about the wall. It's not about the troops. It's about who is going to take God's side on our values and who is selling us down the creek. That's what the difference is. That's really the difference. Somebody said the wall is immoral. Let me tell you what's immoral is the lifestyle we've developed. It's immoral to let the dope pushers and ones come in. We got an alien that just killed a policeman out in California. That's the part that's immoral. If you think the wall's immoral, I said this Wednesday night. I'm going to say a lot of stuff I said Wednesday night. See, some of you thought you were missing it, but now you're going to get it. Amen. If you think the wall's immoral, leave your door open tonight. Put a sign on your refrigerator, welcome, walk on in, take what you want. You're not going to do that, are you? No, you're not going to do that. That's okay. The truth of the matter is that America is not immoral. We send and feed the hungry all over the world. We invite, we help more people than you could possibly mention. And this old idea where you say, well, preacher, saying something about politics. Politics rules your life, whether you know it or not. And it's going to be the difference of whether your grandkids are raised in freedom like you had or not. And so we need to take a stand for righteousness. Nothing wrong in America but what getting back to God could fix. And the Bible tells us that very plainly. The Bible says that the wicked shall be cast into hell in all nations that forget God. Now, we've known God as Americans, and we were founded on his principles and founded on his book, and it's all the way through our founding documents. And the truth is, if we forsake it, then we deserve the judgment of God. America is no VIP with God. We will be blessed when we stand for righteousness, and we'll suffer the consequences when we sell out God's values. I'm just saying to you, we are in a place where our government is in crisis. Now, some stupid stuff's happening. I saw the lady that was elected in New York on TV, I believe last night or night before, being interviewed, and she believes we ought to raise taxes to 70%. Hey, that's public. And there's a crowd that put her in office, wants to believe that.
It's amazing some of the stupid stuff that's going on. The president or prime minister, whatever they call him, of France, his name's Macron. Since I can't call it right, I call him moron. That's about as close as I can get to it. The truth is, he's an environmentalist nut. And you saw all the yellow jackets, all the people that are rioting in the streets with him here recently. They had a right to be out there. He wanted to raise the gas tax 40-something percent because he wanted to stamp out all kind of oil fuels and the gas and oil and all that and go to nothing but environmental stuff. And he was about to kill his people. And so they got out in the streets and marched against him. And I hope they can throw him out of office. This won't cost you nothing extra. The offering plate's already been by. The truth is that that kind of jump is what they're trying to push into America. I mean, right now, since the president got in, we've become an oil exporting nation. And if you've pulled up to the gas pumps recently, it's been better than it was. Amen. In fact, I never thought I'd see it come below $3 again, but I gassed up this week. I think it was $1.97 or whatever it was. But this president of France, he was blaming our president because he said he's a nationalist. Now, you know what that means? That means I'm for my nation. From the word nation, nationalist, I'm for my nation first. America, listen. I've said this for years and years. If you don't love America, get out. Go somewhere else. Don't try to change it. Don't make it like where you come from. The truth is, if you're going to be here, then join with us, not be against us. We could use a wall to do some separating. Amen? I just want to say this. What's behind it all is one worldism. I know you've heard me say this, and I'm going to say it some more. One worldism, the Antichrist kingdom, is trying to be put together, and a lot of useful idiots to the devil is behind it all, trying to bring that kingdom in. Kingdom struggle has been part of history. Who's going to rule? Who's going to be the head? Who's going to lead? All the wars you can think about in history, they're not just man-made. The devil is pulling the strings behind that thing, and it's all about who is going to rule the kingdom. I'll prove it to you. Save your place here in Isaiah and flip over to the New Testament. Go over to Matthew chapter 4 and familiar verses. You'll remember the story in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus has been baptized now, and the devil comes to tempt him. And so the devil begins to try to tempt Jesus. He tells him, man shall not live by bread alone, in verse 4, Matthew 4. And Jesus said, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The devil taking him up on a holy city, on the pinnacle of the temple. He shows him all the kingdoms of the world. He goes to the high mountain apart, shows him all the kingdoms of the world, verse 8, and the glory of them. Now, what's he asking Jesus to do? Fall down and worship him. And then I'll give you all this. Listen, he had the power to do it. He got the kingdom from Adam in the Garden of Eden. Did you know that? Do you know what the whole struggle of planet Earth has been? It started in the Garden of Eden. And it's going to finish in the book of Revelation as to who gets the kingdom. Help yourself, folks. It's not just politics. Some folks say, just politics. No, it's not. It has to do with the way you live, your grandkids are going to live, and whether or not you're going to be free to worship and serve the Lord God to the end or not. It's about the kingdom. It's about whether or not Satan is going to win or not. There is a battle going on. And if you want to shine the light on history, if you'll shine that light on it, you'll find out that the wars men thought they started, they were nothing but puppets. And the inhumanity of man to man is an amazing thing. When war's over, most of the atrocities are discovered. For instance, the mass graves under the communists that killed so many. They dig them up, push them up, find out. How about the Holocaust under Hitler? All that broke out. You say, how in the world can a human being, another human being, be so heartless and so cruel? Because of the devil. I read about this, read about the Holocaust some, and you'd see the live pictures and videos of some of it still today. The Army's got it. And I was reading where this German officer in charge of one of the death camps and some of the ovens that they were burning the Jews and others in, that he went to work in the morning just like you and I. 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, he went to work at that place. And he worked, and part of his was to keep a quota, keep a schedule, keep so many dying and so many bodies being burned or buried, and that was his job. At noontime, he didn't live very far away, the same German officer went home. His wife had lunch fixed. His kids were around the table. He sat down and had fellowship with his wife and his family, eating and rejoicing with his kids and his wife. And I thought, how could you do that and go back to that place and look those women and those kids in the face as you ushered them into the oven? How in the world could you be so inhumane as to do that? And there's only one answer. The devil is behind all the bad stuff in this world. A lot of folks want to blame God. It's not God. It's the God of this world. It's the devil himself. It's the prince and power of the air. And it is an amazing thing. While men scheme, Satan is pulling the ropes, and the final desire and goal he has is to set up his own kingdom. That's why we have so much evil. You know, the end goal is the Antichrist system and the war on Christians, like we just got through the Christmas season. I said in Sunday school this morning, if you get the little pamphlet from David Gibbs, Christian Law Association, you see every year how there's another attack. One little thing you had in the paper this week, a little boy in the classroom, the teachers, like a teacher will do, was asking about, talking about Christmas. And so in that thing, she let a little Muslim boy explain their Christmas. She let a little Jewish boy explain their Hanukkah, Christmas time. But she wouldn't let the little Christian boy get up and tell the real reason for Christmas. That's what we got going on in America today. That's the attack on Christianity that's very real. Very real in our nation today. And too bad that it is. But let me say this. A lot of our better folks, and sometimes church members that ought to know better, and people that believe the Bible is the Word of God, we fall for this stuff that, and what it is, it's the appeal of the devil to the flesh. The idea that we ought to have every comfort, every little gimmick, everything that the heart and flesh desires, that's not of God. That's a lie of the devil. That's what got Eve in trouble around the tree in the garden. She looked at it and she lusted with the eye and with the flesh, and she believed the lie of the devil and she swallowed it. And how many of our young people today are going off and being deceived, thinking, I got a right to a paycheck whether I work or not? No, you don't. You don't. I got a right to every gimmick, every new phone, every new TV, every new car, everything. No, you don't. How about earning your way? There's a pride that ought to be inside of you that I'm not freeloading. I am earning my way. I did some hot rod driving as a young man before I got saved, and I raced on a team. We had three cars. I'll never forget it. I know you've heard this story, but I want to hear it again. I remember racing on that team, and we had different signs on the cars, advertisement and stuff, but we had one little thing on one of the that was moved from one car to the next car week by week or month by month, depending on how we did in the races. And that little old thing, it wasn't very big. It was a picture of Freddy the freeloader. Anybody ever read about Freddy the freeloader? Well, you know what? If you were winning, he didn't get on your fender. But if you were losing and the other guys was winning, paying your bills, then they put that stamp on your fender, said Freddy freeloader. I hated Freddy the freeloader. I didn't want to see him on my fender. I wanted to make my own way. And I want to tell you, we ought to have that kind of Christian pride that, bless God, I'm carrying my weight. I'm doing what I can. Not only taking care of myself, helping somebody else. All of that is fine. You don't have a right just for somebody else. They said, well, they got more than me. Did they earn it better? Did they get it the right way? Or even did their pa or their mother or their grandmother, did they leave them an inheritance, still somebody worked for it down the line somewhere. Somebody earned it. Now, I'll say to you, the idea and the lie of the devil is to give you everything the flesh desires. It's trapping more young people today. Talking about the politicians, we're going to give you free college, we're going to give you free food, and you got a whole pile. And this is what's coming across the border in a lot of cases too, is a lot of able-bodied men into the dope trade and everything else. They get over here, they get a welfare check, so they, the little joke about they steal all night and sleep all day. Something to that. Too much of that going on, no doubt about it. But what it is, and the Bible warns against it, it's the worldliness. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things of the world, for the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that abideth or doeth the will of God abideth forever. Hey, devil stuff is temporary. It's got a dead end streak to it. If you're hooked on bad habits, I told somebody recently about smoking. I said, look, I promise you that if you take your pack of cigarettes and lay them on the front step or out in the middle of the road, that no cat or dog will bother them, or no pig will bother them. The only one who'll pick them up is a human being that's introduced a foreign thing into their life to hook them. Now, that's just an example, because all kind of addictions, dope, alcohol, and now marijuana, and all of that, that's appealing to the wrong side of the flesh. Is a dead-end street waiting out there, and the devil's going to trap you, and you will reap the circumstances, the results of your choices. It's a trick. It's a trick. Some old-time preacher made this statement. He said, you know, you go down the road, and you see there's a road sign, and a big old sign up there. And for a long time, it had a woman's picture on it, and it said, you've come a long way, baby. And you got a slim woman up there on the picture with a long cigarette. He said what they ought to do is go on down the road 10 miles later and put up a sign showing how she wound up. That's the long way she's heading. That's the way it's going to go. See, the devil is like that. He has a dead-end street. His promises are no good. They're tricks. They're deception. But I say to you, there's a kingdom struggle going on. That's what the current crisis is about. Not just politics. James Warburg, and I'm gonna throw some of you something here. James Warburg, he's been dead a long time, but he was the early architect of what we call the Federal Reserve System. Now, if you've noticed in the news, just this last few days, the Federal Reserve president said he would not resign even if the president asked him to. Now, the Federal Reserve, because it's got the word federal in it, you think that's part of our government, don't you? You think that's part of America, that we own it. Because it's got the word federal in it, you'd be wrong. It's privately owned by the big banks. And here's the stupid thing. I'm going to cut to the bottom line because I can't give you an economic lesson. But here's the stupid thing we do. We authorize a group X out here, we'll call them, Federal Reserve, to print money. And then we borrow the money back from them, and they charge us whatever rate of interest. Now, would you do that with your neighbor? Would you go over and say, now, here's all I've got. I'm going to give it to you, and then I'm going to borrow it back, and you charge interest. You say, preacher, I wouldn't be that stupid. We've been that stupid for years. Some of you are quiet. You don't know what I'm talking about. There's a few times in our history we broke out of it, but we've been trapped in it for a long time. And in the news now, the feds can raise the interest rate. They can bring the economy up. They can bring the economy down. They're in control of the thing. And the president now has been fussing about that. And the Fed chairman said, even if he asks me to resign, I won't. In other words, they're going to still keep the control. But if you go back to President Andrew Jackson, he broke out of it. He printed his own money, our nation did, and we didn't charge ourselves interest. Andrew Jackson, yeah. And he was not the first. When we had our colonial days, read Benjamin Franklin. He'll tell you about it. In our colonial days, we printed our own money, used our own money. Now, somebody said the American Revolution came over the Boston Tea Party. No, it didn't. That was a kind of a straw that broke the camel's back. Benjamin Franklin said the reason we had a Revolutionary War is because England wouldn't let us print our own money. We had to borrow it from them. See, there's a whole pile of stuff that we Americans don't know about. And there is shadow governments, and there is a swamp that needs to be drained. And there's a whole pile of stuff that is wrong. But it all has to do with going into globalism, Antichrist kingdom, one world rule, one world government, one world religion. That's the plan. And you say, I didn't come to have a political lesson. Then you got it free. Pay me at the door. But old James Warburg, he was the architect of that Federal Reserve plan, and he said, we are going to have world government. Now, we're talking about a fellow that's been dead, 7,500 years, maybe more than that. He said, we're going to have it in America and all over the world, either by one or two ways, either by consent or by conquest. Now, you know what that means? He said, either by being voted in or bringing it in as a result of war. Now, folks, listen to me. The devil don't want you to know about what I just said. Now, Cheryl's having a little coughing fit. She does every now and then. She'll be all right. I may cough in a minute. Watch me. Truth of the matter is, we're into this place right now of consent or conquest. And it's going to come according to the rulers if they have their way. Now, we're talking about the current crisis here for just a minute. Revelation tells us it's going to come in very likely. Revelation chapter 6 is going to come in because it's going to get voted in. The Antichrist is going to come in with such a spill of socialistic talk. Everybody gets everything free till he's going to be so popular. And the book of Daniel says he'll come in because he'll share the spoil with everybody. That's where he'll get his power from. And that's what we're hearing in the news all the time right now. This old thing of socialism is not such a bad word like it used to be, you know. Right now they're wanting to get rid of the Electoral College because they say that's what put Trump in office. Well, I got news for you. That keeps mob rule down. That keeps New York, help yourself, and California from ruling the country because they got the big population. But you see, I want to go back to the text. I'm still in the Bible. I want you to go back to the text right here. Chapter 9, verse 6. A child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And again, the word government in verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. I got news for you. I know who gets the kingdom. I know who wins. And there may be an Antichrist leader that comes in and he gets voted in or he gets in by the spoils of a war. I don't know, but he is not going to hold it. Jesus is coming back. The kingdom is his. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he's the winner. And the best thing I can tell you is you can be on his side if you want to be. If you want to be. The government one day is going to be on his shoulders. You know what that means? It means he's going to be responsible for it. I jump back in just to say this. When Jesus rules on planet Earth, there may be some walled cities. Do you ever read Revelation? The city that's 1,500 miles square, four square. It's got walls. It's got gates. Amen. Got gates named after the 12 tribes of Israel. And the thing is, Jesus is going to be in charge, and the conflict of ages is going to end, and we're going to finally find out who is the King of glory, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. In the meantime, we ought to be on the right side, speak up for the right side, identify with the right side, and tell everybody we can and get them on the winning side if we can. You know, Jesus won the victory at the cross. Oh, yeah. Satan is a defeated foe, but he don't want you to know that. Jesus is going to put his foot on the serpent's head. Listen to me. He paid the ransom for your soul and mine at the cross of Calvary. The devil don't want to give up the ransom ones, but he has to. Jesus paid the price. He shed his blood. And they wanted to, his disciples wanted him to make the kingdom while he was here, but he told them no. Now's not the time. Even the dying thief on the cross, what did he say to Jesus? called him Lord. Have you ever called him Lord? Do you know what that means? That means we believe you're God. We believe you who you said you were. And the dying thief said, Lord, rememberest thou me when thou comest into what? Thy kingdom. The government is going to be on his shoulders. He's going to set up his own. The dying thief had sense enough. Somebody said, do you believe in a deathbed conversion? I sure do. The dying thief was one. The Bible gives us that one. Don't give us many. Maybe it's a warning to you to, if you think I'll wait till I'm on my dying bed and when I die at midnight, I'll finally call on the Lord. You might die at 11 instead of 12. And you have no promise. He gave us one deathbed scene in the Bible to let us know it can be, but he didn't give us many because it's not common. There's a lot of people, and I've talked to a lot of them on the deathbed. I've talked to some that said, I'm going to wait till later. Wait till later? And the doctor just told you you had a few days? I can give you times and even some names. I've said to one or two, don't you know what the doctor just told you? Yes, but I'm not quite ready yet. And they died not quite ready yet. That's too bad. That's too bad. The Lord Jesus is the winner. It don't look like it today. I don't know which way things are going to drop. I don't know what's going to happen right now in the particular crisis we're in, but I know how it's going to happen in the long run. I know who wins in the end. I know who the king is, and he is one day going to be recognized by old planet Earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Right now, you can recognize him as your Lord and your Savior. And Jesus invites you to do that. He won't make you do it. He won't drag you down that aisle to receive him, but he'll sure speak to your heart and ask you to come. And he'll make you a promise that whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast him out. Have you ever come to him? I wonder if in the auditorium this morning, if I could say, tell me, did you come to Jesus and he reject you? No, you didn't come to him and him reject you. You rejected him if you're still lost today. In America, on the radio, on the TV, in buildings like this, the gospel's been preached over and over and over. It's going to be a hard thing to stand before God and make excuse if you've lived in America very long. And America has sent that message around the world. And now with electronics being what they are, it's going around the world today. Man is going to stand before his creator without an excuse. He's going to hear Jesus say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You never received me. You never let me be your Savior, the payment for your sins. I paid for them on the cross, but you never would let me accept your debt, pay for your sins. You never received me. That's a sad thing. It really is. There is going to be a government overthrow. That government overthrow is going to be when heaven overthrows what man and the devil is doing here on earth. How would it find you today? How would it find you today? Whose side would you be on? Over and over, preachers especially take note of this. And sometimes you see it in the obituary columns in the newspaper. People die so unexpected. Did you see in the news this week where all the people got killed on the interstate up there, 75? How many of us been right down there, back and forth on that same trail? Why them and not us? Why them and not me or you? It can happen just that quick, just that quick. I hope they were ready. I hope they knew the Lord Jesus. And I say to you today, I hope you're ready. I hope you know the Lord Jesus. I give you an opportunity. I don't. God gives you an opportunity now to come and receive him. You're in his house. I've read from his book. I've declared his side of things. What choice will you make? I pray you'd come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Make the right choice. Be ready. Yeah, I'll be in the government overthrow on earth, but in the meantime, I'm going to try to live my life governed by the one that I know wins. How about you? Let's stand, please. Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, we see the warfare going on in the world. It's not just politics, Lord. It's a life and death struggle of what men are going to believe. And Satan is trying to set up his kingdom. I thank you, Father, that I've read the back of the book. I know who wins. I know it's Jesus. And I know one day, maybe sooner than we think, he's going to set up his kingdom. I pray you'd bless the invitation for that one that's never received Christ. I pray that you'd help them to know today might be their last chance to come. And I pray as we sing a verse of invitation song that they'd leave that seat and come down that aisle and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Commit it to you. Pray your Holy Spirit would add to his word and speak to hearts today, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. Will you meet me here and say, "Preacher, I'm receiving Christ. I'm going to be on his side." Will you do it today? Will you come as we sing?
Just as